Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I love hosting this show. It just keeps getting better and better. And actually, tonight is a great night. We have Will Van Cise of Will Van Cise and Truth.
And Let Truth, me get this that is right. Truth, yeah.
Why don't truth. You introduce Truth?
On guitar right here, playing a Telecaster, Mr. Pete Hop Hopkinson. Mike Severino on the drums. Steve Wexler on the bass guitar. Chris Lee singing backups. My name's Will Van Cise.
Very smooth, Will.
Thank you.
Very smooth.
Just to get holding the guitar makes me smooth.
Make sure. And thank you for not noodling.
Yep.
You also play with Will Van Cise and the Wolfpack,
yep.
Which is going to be happening later this very evening.
Later this very evening. Every Tuesday night, Will Van Cise and the Wolfpack, we're at Lucy's Lounge. We host a jam there, an open R&B funk jam at Lucy's Lounge in Pleasantville. We've been doing it for a little, just about a year now. We had our year anniversary a few weeks ago. It's a great jam. We start at 9 o'clock and we go until everybody plays and has some fun.
You know, it's great that you go as late as you go, because I learned my lesson. You're only as good as the final ring on the register.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This is true. You are right about it. Or the last jam you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's that old saying? You're only as good as your last movie, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to explain to my girlfriend what a record producer does and how important. It's not like a movie producer where they just put the money
right.
together in the package. A record producer gives the band the sound.
Sure.
And I gave the example of the Cars, who had like 6 hit albums with Roy Thomas Baker, guy who did Moody Blues,
sure.
did The Queen. They dumped them. They had Rick Ocasek produce their last album. Didn't sell. The group broke up.
No, the producer's huge, like Tom Dowd. I mean, mm-hmm. you could look at all the hits Tom Dowd made from, you know, jazz records to R&B records to rock and roll records.
So who's producing your record?
Actually, hopefully we're going to be recording it soon, and John Colbert would hopefully be producing this record. Him and I spoke about that, and I think that's who we're going to go with when we do it.
He's been on the show.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
He, Tom Chapin, he does now.
Yeah, he works with Tom Chapin in the 70s. He worked with John Lennon and played on 2 records, and some of the most memorable songs you'll hear is him playing keyboards on, and guitar, too.
Really, I remember he was telling me a story about John in the studio where John couldn't reach one note,
yeah.
so he had to stick his
That's
finger
That's on Stand
there.
By Me. They're
right.
playing the synth line, or the string line, and John went over his shoulder to play one note, and he played the other one, and it was a one-taker because they were putting it on a master. If they messed that up, curtains.
Yeah, that's amazing. Kind of like this show, right?
Yeah, not as much on the line, but yes, kind of like this show.
Okay, quickly, name me your other groups.
I play with the Brothers of the Road Band, which is an Allman Brothers tribute. You can find them at www.brothersoftheroadband.com. I play in Steve Wexler and the Top Shelf Orchestra, which is a great, great, great band, great horn section and singing, and Groove Buffet, which is a classic Motown and Soul Review that we play a lot in B.B. King's in the city and all through Long Island and up here in the tri-state area. And that also you can find on www.groovebuffet.com.
And you also do what a lot of musicians are finding is the most lucrative part of their profession, which is teaching.
Yes. Yeah, I teach guitar. Today you see me playing acoustic guitar and playing some songs I wrote, but in those other bands I'm a lead guitar player and I play in a lot of different styles of music, and that's pretty much what I've been doing most of my life, playing lead guitar, I'd say, for almost 30 years.
Okay, I want you to come back. I want you to bring your electric guitar.
One of my Les Pauls?
I don't care.
That'll be what
And
it
then
was.
You and Pete jam out.
He did bring an electric guitar tonight. I'm playing it.
Yeah, yeah, that's my
that's
Telecaster.
Yours? I thought
yeah.
that was yours.
No, that's mine.
And that's mine.
We switched.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've been known to do.
We're going to do a quick shuffle of stuff.
Stuff shuffle coming up here.
On guitar and flute?
Yeah.
There you go, Will.
Thank you, Roger.
One, two, three.
Yes, sir.
Can you push yourself more towards the middle?
Yeah.
That way we get some nice shots of Pete's hands.
That's fine. Yeah, we gotta get Pete. Hey, I'm running on the Telecaster for you, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Change this up.
All right.
This one's called Rhythm and Love, co-written by Miss Chris Lee.
1, 2, 3, 4.
When I found you,
thank you.
Let's move the furniture.
Yes. Thank you.
Nice. You know, that last song reminds me of just the sound and feel of traffic.
Oh, cool. That's a nice compliment.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the exact song, but it's just a great feel. Where did you grow up, Will?
I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, Marine Park, Brooklyn.
Interesting.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
And that's where you developed your love for country music and country rock.
Yeah, and then blues and everything else.
Hotbed of it,
actually. Yeah, it's definitely a hotbed.
Yeah, that was a nice set. I've seen you a number of times, and I'm just impressed about this other side of you.
Thank you.
So we were talking before the show. Interesting experiences you've had at gigs.
Yeah, probably the worst one was I was playing at Max's Kansas City in New York City some time ago. With a band called Smoke. And I jumped off the stage. It was a rock and roll band, you know, kind of Rolling Stones Faces thing. And I jumped off the stage onto a table, you know, trying to be a rock star. But it was two tables put together with a tablecloth over it. And my cowboy boot fell in the middle of the two tables, and I landed on my back. And I kept playing. The first thing I did was try to just save the guitar I was playing. Because that would have been disastrous. And I landed on my back and kept playing and, you know, got back on stage bright red with the broken heel off my cowboy boot. My mom and dad were in the audience. And it was awesome. That's probably the most embarrassing one that I can tell on television.
You know, cable television.
Cable television.
I've been admiring. Can we get the spotlight on their feet? I've been admiring those shoes. Now, who owns those shoes?
Well, those are mine and these are Pete's, just like this is Pete's guitar and that's mine.
I don't feel it.
My shirt is shirt.
Right, it's kind of how we do things.
Yeah, they're nice. Now, are they real boots or are they just...
No, they're actually shoes that kind of look like boots. Western shoes, I guess. Kind of hip.
Cool. Yep. Very nice.
We have same taste in music and clothes.
Right.
That's why we're kidding.
Right. We'll leave it at that.
Exactly. I was going to go right there.
Now, the other thing I noticed was, Steve, I know you're not mic'd, but it's interesting. You're still playing a four-string bass.
I never learned yet. For some reason, guitar players and people on the bandstand always appreciate it if you show up with a four-string bass. What they don't know is, I don't know how to play a five.
You see, for me, I have a low voice. I do a lot of stuff in the key of D. So if you have a four-string bass, you need to have that...
Little hip shot.
Yeah, the hip shot.
Yeah, yeah, that brings
cool.
it down to D.
That's a cool thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mike, you're playing great as usual.
Thanks, Roger.
I remember used to do a lot of blues, do
I
reggae.
Still do. Yeah, I still do, yeah.
What reggae band are you in, Mike?
Well, I co-lead the Roots Vibration Band, which is some members around Westchester, some out of Harlem and the Bronx. And then I play around with different reggae bands around New York City, around the area.
You used to do a jam at Vintage.
Yeah, I mean, that didn't last very long. It was when they first opened, and...
No, you should say that was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
That's thanks.
You need to say. So talk to me some more about your fabulous experiences performing.
Well, I moved down to New Orleans when I was about 21 years old or so, and I lived down there, and I got to play with a lot of great people. I played with the late, great Snooks Eaglin, who was an amazing, amazing New Orleans blues and rhythm and blues guitar player. And I kind of, for a few weeks, happened to meet the right people and played with them for a few weeks. And it was really cool. I was nobody, and he did me a favor and probably wouldn't have remembered me after those few weeks were gone, but it meant a lot to me. I learned a lot about music and playing guitar and stuff like that. And got to sit in with a lot of great people and learn music down there. And I toured... pretty much all around the world. I was in a band called the Brooklyn Bums, and we played Europe a lot, England, Germany.
What kind of music did you do?
The Brooklyn Bums was a really cool, like, big band swing band, but like hard edge. It was like almost like punk rock meets swing, like real swing. And they were really popular before I was in the band, when like Brian Setzer and the big Voodoo Daddies were popular. And I replaced my friend Timmy Clement, who was the guitar player, who basically gave me the gig. He didn't want to do it anymore and gave me a call and I did it. But he's a great guitar player, great guy too. And I played with those guys for a very short time, but played a lot of gigs and got to really see the world with them and learned a lot about music too.
What happened? How did it end?
Band just kind of disbanded, fizzled out, I guess, and, you know, different members left, and everybody went and did different things. But great band, great musicians in that band.
I just recently saw The Commitments again.
I did too, actually, a few weeks ago. Chris
right.
and I watched it. Great movie.
Right. All good things fall apart instantly.
Yeah.
I think that's the motto of that. New Orleans, that's a dangerous town in terms of temptation and...
I grew up in Brooklyn, so...
The lateral move.
Yeah.
The lateral move.
It wasn't too bad. I lived across the river from New Orleans. I lived on a farm, a horse farm.
Nice.
In Bush, Louisiana, which is about 30 miles outside of New Orleans. I say New Orleans because it's easier to describe to people. But I lived there with my good friend Tony Drake and his sister and stuff, and we would just travel back and forth.
Now, in the last show, you talked about your dream band.
Yes.
And you had Steve Cropper in it.
Yes.
Who did all the Stax Vault records, and you talked about Dwayne.
Sure.
What other guitar players?
I'll give them to you straight up. My favorite guitar players go in no particular order. The three kings, that'd be B.B. King, Albert King, and Freddie King. And then the next generation of my favorite guitar players would be Peter Green, Mike Bloomfield, and Dwayne Allman. If we're talking about guitar players, and I'm not playing much lead guitar, but when I do, you can pretty much hear everything I learned off of those cats. And rhythm guitar would be Steve Cropper, Cornell Dupree, and Teeny Hodges, and Curtis Mayfield. That's pretty much all you need, kids. Learn that stuff.
Cornell Dupree did a lot of nice stuff with B.B. King.
Sure did, with Jerry Jamont on bass.
Mm-hmm. Those are some great pleasures. Some great guitar players. You blew me away. You're so prepared. You're so precise.
I do talk about this stuff.
That's right. Well, man. Yeah, that's amazing. You know, to me, what's interesting is I have small hands, and it was hard for me. I was a bass player for a long time. It was hard for me to wrap my hands and do things the right way. Right. Screwed up my hand. And then later in life, I realize is that the greats are great because they do it the wrong way.
Well, yeah.
Now, you talk about the kings, they turn it upside down, they bend up, but it's really down somehow.
Right, sure.
And it makes them sound different.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what personal style is all about on any instrument. You know, learning stuff, forgetting about it, and just doing it. And the accidents you find when you play are the things that stand out and become part of your style. You know, Danny Gadden once said he was messing around and had his fingernail over the string. You can't hear it on this, and he hit little pinch harmonic, and did like chicken picking thing, and that's how he came up with the way he did it. You know, as opposed to other guys.
You always got to find something that makes you different.
Right.
Thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, guys.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You sounded great. Hope to have you come back full electric swing next time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll bring the gold top.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we're out.
Thanks, Roger. That was awesome.
Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Will.
I love you all.
You got my check, right?